Open them to John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. I'm going to kind of set this up because this is about a Samaritan woman, a Syrophoenician woman, that came to Jacob's well to draw water. She absolutely was astounded that someone she recognized as a Jewish holy man. She didn't know he was the Christ, the Messiah, but she knew that he was of that nationality and race and perceived him to be a holy man. She probably came with her eyes cast down, not to even make eye contact, because there was no contact with those considered to be Gentiles by people that considered themselves to be the covenant people. As she drew water from the well, he said, "Woman, give me to drink." And the Bible said it astonished her that he would even speak to her to ask her to do something in service to him, that she would even be honored enough for him to address her, and even if it was to ask her to do something that a servant would do. "Woman, while you're drawing water, give me here to drink." And she said, and then he began to talk to her as she drew the water. And he said, "Woman," he said, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you knew who it was who said unto you, to you, "Give me to drink," you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. Everybody say, "Never thirst again." Hallelujah. Amen. I want to get into this message today as we go down through John's Gospel chapter 4 to 19 through 24, because this woman's life was transformed because he gave her that living water. Amen. Amen. And she found what she was looking for. There's a group called U2, I think it is. Is it U2? That has the song, "I've been everywhere, I've done everything, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for." I think it was Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones, if you're from the baby boomer generation, that penned the song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." Can you say amen? We live in a world of empty, lonely people, amen, looking for something that will fill that void, something that will satisfy the deep longings of the life and the soul. Jesus said, "Your satisfaction is near you, but it's not in that well that you're drawing natural water from." Amen. But there is another well that you can draw spiritual water from. And if you knew who it was that told you to give me to drink, you would ask of me and I'd give you living water and you would never thirst again. And to show how thirsty she was for fulfillment, he started telling her about her life. He said, "You've had 5 husbands. You're looking for fulfillment, but you'll never find it in a person. You'll never find it in things. You'll never find it just in the material or in the emotional and the physical part of your life. There's a part of your life that only God can fill with himself." Amen. Billy Graham put it this way: inside of every man and woman, boy and girl, there's a God-shaped vacuum, and only God can fulfill that place in our life. Can you say amen? See, God not only knows that we sin, he knows why we sin. And he's compassionate. He doesn't condone it. He cannot look over it. But thank God he can forgive it and he can give us what we need so we're not under that terrible draw to always look to the world for a fulfillment, because he wants to be the one that fulfills us. Can you say amen? What I'm stating to you here today as believers and Christians, you that are, is that if Jesus isn't satisfying your soul, you're a candidate for temptation. Because the devil's going to offer you something that is unlawful, something that is spiritually illegal, amen, and tell you that will satisfy you. Let me tell you something. Jesus wanted your Christian life to be so fulfilling as you participate in a real spiritual communion with him. He said these words, "My body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, and he that eats of my body and drinks of my blood." And we're not talking about cannibalism. We're talking about spiritual communion, actually partaking of Jesus Christ, not just being a Sunday morning go-to-church person who doesn't have any further relationship with the Lord, but actually partaking spiritually of Jesus daily in our life. That would become so fulfilling and so fulfilling that we would never hunger again and we would never thirst again. I love the song that said, "I searched for him and knew not what I searched for. I longed for him and knew not what I longed for until I found Jesus. He filled this longing down in my soul. Can anybody here say that Jesus has fulfilled a longing down in your soul? Amen? He satisfies. He not only sanctifies, He satisfies. That's how He keeps you sanctified. Amen? If you're dissatisfied spiritually, you're going to start looking emotionally, materially, for what you need to satisfy you. Amen? But if you're satisfied with Jesus, then nothing that the world offers you can compare with what you're experiencing down in your soul and life. Do you know there's no substitute for the peace my wife was talking about? You can't buy that with all the money in the world. There's no substitute for the joy that gives me strength to face my responsibilities and pressures in life. Amen. I went through nervous exhaustion, and it took 10 years to get enough past it that I could be anywhere near normal. Amen. My dad went through a nervous breakdown when he was in his 30s. Complete, absolute nervous breakdown. And at 12 years old, I first came to the Lord. I used to sit and minister to my dad. And I used to pray with my daddy, and I used to strengthen my daddy. One time he felt like God wanted him to prove his faith, and he had false teeth. He lost them at a young age, and he went out and buried his teeth in the backyard and said God was going to grow him new teeth. I had, at 12 years old, to go sit with my dad and convince him, amen, that he was doing something to tempt the Lord, not something to prove the Lord. Isn't that incredible? So from 12 years old, I've carried the responsibility of others upon me. So I didn't have people strengthening me as I came up, and I didn't have the Lord either when I got away from Him. And oh, it was such a privilege to come back to Jesus. What a load was taken off of me when the guilt and the shame was gone, and I realized that I didn't have to be strong anymore. Amen. Because He was carrying me. He was helping me. Can you say amen? His strength was sustaining me. Amen. I got so busy. I remember Bob Pogue, who's gone now. He used to be part of our congregation. Some of you remember him. I was at a funeral for a family member within that family circle. And I came out and he was talking to my wife. And he said, there comes a strong man. Amen. And Bob was so much bigger than me and stronger than me in stature. But he considered me to be a strong man because he saw all the pressures and we kept magnifying Jesus and living for Jesus. But he got it wrong. I'm not a strong man. Amen. I'm a man that had been weakened to the point of nervous exhaustion. Amen. And yet, God, the mighty one of Israel, this strong one in my life, amen, did not leave me nor forsake me, did not tell me if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. He loved me. He undergirded me. He helped me. He sustained me. Can you say amen? And everything I preach from a foundation of sustaining grace. Amen. Whatever I am today, whatever I'm perceived to be, I can declare unto you with the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when I see anybody in any trouble or any failure, I can honestly say, except for the grace of God, there go I. I'm not above any sin. And you're not either. Sin will take you where you never wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. Some people, jealousy that has not been dealt with effectively drove people to murder, literally because of jealousy undealt with. And they never dreamed before that jealousy got a hold of them and left unchecked in the heart that they would ever become a killer of another human being. It's amazing. A lot of the murders are not by murderers, but crimes of passion. My father-in-law, ex-father-in-law, he's dead now, but he was a deputy sheriff, and he said one of the worst calls that they hated to respond to was domestic violence because the passions are so high when husbands and wives get into these terrible battles with one another. And he said he remember going to a door and knocking on the door one time, and a Vietnam vet and his wife had been arguing and fighting all day. They finally called the police, and he was the first one on the scene, and he knocked on the door could hear shouting behind the door. He said when he opened the door, he said there was a man there with a .45 caliber automatic pistol. Said he put it right between his eyes and said, "How would you like to die?" And he incredible thing, because in the next moment he could have squeezed that trigger and it would have been considered a crime of passion, because passions were running so high. He spoke calmly and was able to calm him down, and after a while able to get him to put the gun down. But I'm telling you something, amen, sin will take you where you never intended to go, and it'll keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. Some people started doing a little bit of pot because they considered it the same thing as getting high on beer, but it didn't stop with a little bit of pot. It led on to cocaine. It led on to other heavier duty drugs. I remember in Dave Wilkerson's ministry, a young man that had come and got delivered from drugs described his first drug use as a recreational thing at a party. He said, drugs were like a little monkey that I invited to sit on my shoulder, and he was such a cute little monkey, and we had such fun together, playing together, and it was such an innocent, fun little thing. He said, but as time went on, he said, the monkey, and I used to feed the monkey, he said. You know, and he said, as time went on, the monkey got hungrier and demanded more. And I went from marijuana to cocaine and got involved in deeper drugs and continued on down the litany of all kinds of drugs that you can, and hallucinogenics back in the 60s along with it. And he said, finally, the monkey started to grow as I fed him more and got bigger and bigger and bigger. Until it was no longer a cute little monkey. It was this heavy beast that was on my back. And I decided, I've got to get rid of this thing. It's destroying me. And he said, I reached up to get the monkey, to pull it off of me. And I found out that the monkey had grew bigger and stronger than me. And there's no way that I could get the monkey off my back. Now the monkey had control of me. I no longer had control of the monkey. And that's when it ceases to be fun. That's when the party is over. Can you say amen? Listen to me. God comes in great power and grace to set captives like that free. Can you say amen? No one can sing this morning like a soul that has been set free. Can you say amen? I'm glad for a gospel that promises, no matter how powerful sin is entrenched in our life. Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. This woman got a hold of that living water, that fulfillment that salvation brings. It's more than just getting your name written down in heaven. It's more than just escaping hell. It's receiving one who says, I can fulfill you here and now. And that's what Satan is. That's the big salesmanship of Satan. This will fulfill you. That sin, that drug, that illicit relationship, and how wrong it is. Look at Hollywood. Who can have it all the drugs, all of the illicit sex. The door is open, the money, the power, the fame is there to feed every passion that you could imagine. And are these happy, well-adjusted folks? Even young women and men are already crashing and burning because of drugs and alcohol. Why do they need that stuff? Because they still haven't found what they're looking for. Can you say amen? Come on, listen, it's time the church stood up and the Christian said, I want to be a true worshiper of God. I want a fulfilling, intimate, personal relationship with Christ that I don't hunger and I don't thirst anymore. So God can free you and me from the prison of what? From the prison of what? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he didn't say that just because of the green grass and the still water that the shepherd provides, but because he had a shepherd that would provide. It was the shepherd himself that freed David from the prison of what? Not just what he gave him, but who he was. Can you say amen? The Lord is my shepherd. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. His blessing, his favor, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Ain't no chains on me. Did you hear me today? I'm free from the prison of what? If you went out and bought me an Escalade, I'll tell you the truth, I would drive it. And then I'd ask you to repent of robbing that bank. But I don't need it today. I got a Chevy S10, and boy, it's fast. And the air conditioner's cold. And the music is loud. I got a huge speaker behind the seat. Hallelujah. I love to praise God. So I got this big, it's not much room in there. Amen. Hallelujah. My son looked at that and said, oh, Dad, we could put big speakers back here in the back. I said, son, I got enough speakers. I don't need any more speakers. But I love to worship the Lord. I'm so happy, amen, with what God has given me. He's been good to me. Praise God. Amen. One of these days, my wife will get tired of her Buick, and that will come down to me. Amen. That's how it works. He gets the good one. I get the other one, the work one. Amen. But then her good one becomes my workman someday. Amen. But God, you know what's so good today? Not to walk out this door with a sense of need, with a sense of want. Freed from the prison of want means I'm happy in Jesus with what He's given me. And I'm happy because I have Him. And when I have Him, I have the fulfillment that nothing that you could ever acquire without that fulfillment would satisfy. It's so good to have what He's given me and Jesus. Can you say amen? And the fulfillment that He brings to my life. Woman, if you would ask of me, I would give you living water and you would what? Never thirst again. Why? Because you can spiritually partake of Jesus. You don't just get your sins forgiven. You get a friend for life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Who said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'll fulfill that inward need that no one but God can fulfill. And the first thing she wanted to do after receiving Him and receiving the living water is to worship God for what He had given her. I'll tell you, where there's real revival, you'll see real worship. It won't be solicited and pulled out like yanking a tooth. It will come as natural as breathing in and breathing out. Amen. I remember when I cracked my rib. If you've never had a cracked rib, I'm telling you, that thing hurt me. I took their pain medication, prayed, and did everything I knew to do, and it still hurt me. Someone asked me when I wrapped up and went to work, Reb, don't your side hurt? And I said, only when I breathe in and breathe out. Amen. In other words, it hurt constantly. Wasn't no way you could turn to get it to stop hurting until it began to mend and it began to heal. But breathing in and breathing out is so natural. It's called one of those unconscious reflex actions. You can fall to the floor unconscious today, but your breathing will continue. You don't have to think to breathe. There should come a time in our life when praise is just as home in our heart, amen, as breathing is in our lungs. Can you say amen? That it's a reflex. I find myself saying, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus, for stuff. I don't have to even think about it anymore. Amen. Something goes good at work. I thank the Lord. I call Him my covenant friend. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, my covenant friend. Amen. And somebody sees me over there talking and they think I'm kind of weird because I'm talking to myself. No, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to my Savior, my Sovereign, my King. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I love talking to my King. I love prayer to be something that's not forced and regimented, but just like breathing, praise God. Hallelujah. Just you and God in communion, you and God in communication. I was never one for this restricted, dutiful, responsible, got to get to it, got to time it, got to make sure I read this many chapters and pray this long. I realize there's disciplines we need, but what we need more than discipline is devotion. You get a heart of devotion to the Lord and prayer becomes like your breath and praise becomes like your breath. You won't have to make yourself do it, force yourself into it, subdue your flesh. It will come as natural to you as breathing in and breathing out. Hallelujahs will flow from you. I said it before and I'll say it again. A Christian that is a true worshiper of God should be a hallelujah from head to foot. Somebody give Him praise today. That's how it ought to work. Amen. She wanted to worship. She wanted to worship. She had a heart for worship. It wasn't something she was going to endure because it was mandated. It's something she wanted to give God. She wanted to lavish her worship on Him that had been so gracious to her. And that's where we pick up the narrative in the 19th verse of John 4. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. Our God's worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship ye know not what, We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. I want you to underscore that. Now is. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. If you didn't come here today to worship God and you're waiting on a song that you love to stimulate you, even if you get stimulated by the song, you'll give an emotional response to God. It won't affect you when you walk outside that door.
That's right.
Amen. You won't rise above the emotional level of worship. And I've watched people stimulate people's emotions. And they would even become so beside themselves. Some would run, some would shout. And I'm not against feeling. I love the presence of the Lord. Amen. Some people judge a service by how much of the presence of the Lord they felt. Worship is not about you feeling God.
Amen.
It's about you giving God what is due Him.
Amen.
Huh? Worship is not about how much you feel Him, but what He's worthy of. It comes from the old word, worship. It means when you give Him praise and you honor Him with your worship, you are ascribing value and worth to Him. What is Jesus worth to you that died for you on the cross? Is it worth you getting over your hard day or your hard week and quit thinking about yourself and ascribe unto Him the glory that is due His name no matter what you've been going through? You think He's worth more? You think He's worth that? You think He's worth it? He that died on the cross, hung there for 6 hours when He could have called thousands of angels and destroyed the world and the people that were cursing Him while He was dying? Can you say amen? You think He's worth transcending, thinking about what kind of week you've had and day you've had, and bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You think He's worth it? I know you've had it tough. But I'm talking about getting your eyes off of your tough life and on His tough love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, don't give him a patty cake. Give Him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If He can get His eyes off of you and get your eyes back on Him, whatever you're going through, He'll give you grace sufficient. But if you don't worship God today, you're not a true worshiper. You're not worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. If you're waiting on Him to jolt you from heaven.
Amen.
That's not the spirit we're talking about. It's worshiping him from the inward man that's been renewed by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And in sincerity, ascribing to Him His worth, His value. I went to a pastor's site last night and he was lamenting the same thing. He said, to feel or not to feel. And he said, sometimes I hear songs and I begin to weep and feel the very presence of the Jesus they're singing about. He said sometimes I'm hearing a sermon and I begin to break down or to laugh with joy because something is quickened to me and I sense the presence of the Lord. He said sometimes I'm just praying and I feel Jesus. And oh, what a joy it is to enter into His presence. But he said, when it comes time to worship, he said, sometimes after church, I've heard someone say, oh, wasn't God's presence wonderful today in that service? And that before I was out of the parking lot, I'd hear someone else loading their kids into an SUV saying, you know, I tried so hard today to enter into God's presence, but I just didn't feel anything. Amen. And he said, why are we gauging worship with what we felt or didn't feel? You know, we have a service where we sense the presence of God. What do we want next Sunday? We want to replicate that same service. We want God to move in the same exact way so we can feel the same exact thing because we love the presence of God, and there's nothing wrong with that. But worship has to get purified from just what we feel at any given time. God is God, whether you feel Him or whether you don't. God is here whether you sense Him or whether you don't. And I'm not advocating we have a dead, dry service. And I'm telling you we ought to seek and have a passion. Part of my sermon, if I ever get to that point, is having a passion for the presence of God is part of true worship. Can you say amen? Not just going through the motions, but no understanding we can enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We can enter into His courts with praise. Amen. And we can come before His presence with singing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But But let me tell you something. You may be going through something emotional, something that's distracted you, something that's almost insulated you from sensing that presence. Let me tell you something. He's still God. Can you say amen? He's still here. He'll answer prayer whether you have a quickening witness of the Spirit or whether you do not. And let me tell you something else. Faith is expressed in its purest form when you see no evidence of God, feel no evidence of God, but in your heart you know that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I have prayed prayers when I felt the very angels of God around me and the Holy Ghost rising up within me. And I have prayed prayers when I felt like heaven was brass and God was distant, but God's answer came exactly the same way. Can you say amen? His answer was not based on my feeling, but on His faithfulness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the more I dedicate to worshiping God, whether I feel it or whether I don't, the more He dedicates to revealing Himself unto me, and I feel Him even more. Wow. I always tell congregations, anybody that don't want the blessing, you non-emotional people that can't hardly find it within you to show any response to such a great God as this, take what they are wasting, Lord, and pour it out on me. I know what to do with it. I know how to get excited about Jesus. I know how to serve God enthusiastically. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It gladdens my heart. Soothes my soul. Nobody. I love the song. It said, oh man, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Honey, if you've never had Him do you like that, you don't know what we're talking about. Can you say amen? He's my friend. True worshipers seek me with their whole heart, and they always find me, saith God. They find me in the deepest valleys, and their fears are assuaged. They find me, yea, on the highest mountains, and they shout my victory. But the shout on the mountaintop is no greater than the shout in the valley. Yea, the shout in the valley is even greater than the shout on the mountaintop. And you discover the God of the valleys is with you, and you have nothing to fear. In the deepest, darkest valley, you will shout my praise, and I will lead you through, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. I really don't put a lot of stock in mountaintop praise. Anybody can do it. Can you say amen? Anybody can praise God when the check just came in the mail. When you can praise God when you got a notice from the IRS that you got it wrong, you owe them $2,000 more. By such a date. And you get a letter from the insurance company that says, we don't cover that. You say, but I thought you did, but you didn't read the fine print, and sure enough, they don't. Amen? When you get a Job message, you can praise God. God will surely bring you through. True worshipers don't just worship on mountaintops. They worship in valleys. And they have a testimony. True worshipers always have a testimony. Can you say amen? That God is faithful. Because they ascribe unto Him faithfulness. They ascribe, when they worship and praise Him anyway, they ascribe unto Him power over their circumstance. They ascribe unto Him, amen, that is due Him. Amen? Everybody say worship. We just dropped that as the word evolved. It's the same word. It means the same thing. It's worship. What is God worth to you? Is He worth your time to worship, go to a worship service? Some people, He's not worth their time. Amen. Their time is more important. And that's why when they finally show up at church, they have a real problem finding God there. Because they've kind of discredited Him and discounted Him. Amen. When you really get saved, you want to be in God's house because you want to show worship. You want to find an outlet for that's welling up in your heart. And what better outlet than to get with the saints of God who are praising Him on Sunday morning? Can you say amen? 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 Hallelujah. That's where we come. There's something about corporate worship. There's something about coming together and lifting up His great name. Where two or more of you are gathered in my name. How does God respond to that when we have the heart for Him? There am I. Where? In His high heaven. No, in the midst of them. Can you say amen? Inhabiting the praises of His people. Glory to God. You may be thinking about your problems. This is no time to think about your problems. This is time to think about your God. How many know your God can solve your problems? So your focus is more not ought not be you and your problems, but God and His faithfulness. Can you say amen? Wow. Everybody say God and His faithfulness. God is a spirit. Let me back up to verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must. This is an imperative. They must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Samaritans went to their mountain to worship. Their concept of God. Jesus said, you don't even know Him. The Jews thought Jerusalem is the holy city. That's where we can worship God and He will accept the worship. And He said, the time has come when the paradigm has changed. Amen. You won't go to a holy place to worship God. You make a holy place in your heart to worship God. No place on the planet you can go where if you stand in that place, God says, now you can worship me and I'll receive your worship. But if you make a place in your heart, He will come to that place in your heart and then worship can take place. The good news is you can worship God. Amen. Driving down the street going to work on Monday morning or going to the grocery store on Friday afternoon, you can worship God in your car, amen, as effectively as you could if you stood in the Garden of Gethsemane or on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. God is not locating Himself in a holy place on the earth anymore, but His holy place has changed. There is no tabernacle anymore. Your body becomes the what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Where's God looking for worship to emanate from now? From that temple? Can you say, man, where the incense was burned and the sacrifices were offered? No, He's looking for worship to emanate from the heart that has been redeemed and the soul that has been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. And God has come to make His habitation. You didn't hear me. Amen. God has come to take up habitation within us. What do I do because God dwells within me? In this temple, worship begins to come forth. Can you say it? Not because of how I feel, but because of who He is and where He is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to say it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A true worshiper of God should be a hallelujah from head to foot. Their miracle baby over here from a womb that was never supposed to bear. Well, a baby came because God is on the throne. She doesn't know me as Reverend Robert A. Venable. She doesn't know me as Rev. She's grew up in this church. And they didn't tell her to do this. She just, you know, how old is she now? She's 3 years old. And just when she began to talk plain, amen, Kayla used to recognize me by this term, and I love it. She saw a video of me preaching on television from one of our broadcasts we did on TV. She saw a video while they were sitting there, and she pointed and said, hallelujah. So I'm hallelujah to her. I think that's so wonderful. That she perceives me. Children are pretty honest, you know. Amen. They say, they just blurt out, you know, what's that wart on your nose? They'll tell you, what's that, you know, if you've got one. Other people won't even say anything about it and look the other way. But a child will say, what's that? Amen. Children are honest. Can you say amen? I love to be called hallelujah. Amen. I want to be known as a man who worships God. From the heart, enthusiastically. Can you say amen? I don't want nobody on television, amen, that's in a children's program, enthusiastically doing something that transcends my enthusiasm in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I want young people to know as they grow up that the God I serve is worth my praise. Amen. I used to preach a sermon on dancing with David. Amen. What did David do when the ark came back to the rightful place and realizing that God was restoring the blessing to Israel? You know what the king of Israel did? Amen. With all of the protocol and all of the decorum and all of the dignity that the king had, did you know what he did when he saw that ark coming home? Do you know what he did? For all you non-emotional people that think this is just a Pentecostal thing because of the Holy Ghost wasn't given back in the days of David. This was no Pentecostal thing. Can you say amen? This was David saying, when God gets back in his rightful place, amen, enemies may come up against us, but God will send angels and they will fail. If weather conditions come and create a drought, God will send his rains. Can you say amen? God's covenant blessings are going to rest upon Israel. There should be a requisite response, amen, to this kind of event. And he said it is not to follow protocol and think about decorum and think about dignity. He took off his royal robe and he laid it down. Can you say amen? The ark is being brought back. He said he saw it coming. He took off his royal robe, amen. Something of that shepherd boy that knew God out on while keeping the sheep came alive in the great king of Israel. Can you say amen? He was not indecent. He was not wearing, amen, fruit of the looms or something like that. He had an undergarment. And you know what he had to do what he did? He had to reach around, pull that undergarment up so his legs now showed, and stick it in his belt. He looked like a man wearing a giant diaper. And this is the king of Israel. And his wife is ashamed. Oh, Lord, what has he done? What is he doing? What, you know, worship, when man gets a hold of it, he's going to take all the real heartfelt stuff out of it. The heartfelt stuff comes at a, well, I started to say the Bucks game, but that's heartache. You got to be tough. I'm a Bucks fan, I'll tell you right now. You got to be tough to be a Bucks fan. You got to take the pain. Can you say amen? But it's okay when your team is winning in the overtime. In the last few seconds, it's okay to rise from the bleachers and shout till your lungs are about to burst and no one is going to call you emotional. Can you say amen? No one's going to accuse you of emotionalism. But if you ever jump up in the middle of church and holler hallelujah to God because the word is quickened to you, all of a sudden, you're one of those. Holy roller. I knew it when I saw you. I can just see you now rolling up the floor this way, rolling back this way, rolling back this way. That's what you do down at that church, isn't it? You roll over to that wall and hit it, bounce off and roll back to the other. The Bible said David danced before the Lord with all of his dance before who? The people. Just some emotional thing. No, a devotional act of worship. He danced before the Lord with all of his might. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you that you have to jump up and do anything. I'm telling you that worship has to be expressed in sincerity from a heart that values God above everything and everyone else. Then and only then is it acceptable. And a dance, as goofy as it may look to man, became an acceptable sacrifice of praise and worship to God. And David danced before the ark on its way with all of his might. And his wife was so ashamed of him. She confronted him. And she said, "You're the king. Look what a fool you've made of yourself. How beneath the dignity of your office, everybody's going to be laughing and talking about what a crazy person you are." And he said, "In essence, you ain't seen nothing yet." Yeah. He actually said in the King James, "I will get even more undignified than this." When it comes to worship God, you don't think about dignity and decorum. This is about truth coming from the heart. True worshipers worship from the heart. Amen. If it's not true worship, we've got to put it up. We've got to present it with a lot of man-made stuff. Man-made religions are for man-made gods, but the true and living God wants something from the heart. Can you say amen? Say that with me again. Man-made religions are for man-made gods. Man-made worship is for man-made gods. But the true and living God wants worship from the heart. Can you say amen? Where the whole life is involved. Praise God. Hallelujah. God seeketh such to worship Him. He said, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to find on Sunday morning when the saints come together. I want to find people that value me above everything, including their self and their emotions and their circumstances. They're not going to withhold my praise on my day. I guarantee you start worshiping God, God can turn your circumstance around. Don't wait till He does it to worship. That requires no faith at all. At midnight in stocks and bonds. Paul and Silas prayed and then they worshiped. They prayed and did what? They were, oh, by the way, they're going to kill them next morning too. They had death hanging over them like the sword of Damocles. But they prayed and listened to this and sang praises. Not after God did something, but because He's God and because He's worthy, they ascribed Him worth. What's it worth to have a God you can call on in times of trouble? It's worth your best praise, no matter how you feel or what you face. Everybody say, my best praise. No matter what I feel or what I'm facing, give Him your best praise. See what happens. Can you say amen? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And it was not while they were praying that the prison began to shake and the doors began to swing open because of the shaking and the locks no longer held as the doors trembled. It's while they were praising God. Woo! You didn't hear me. I said it was while they were praising God. It's while they were praising God. David said, I'll bless the Lord. Why? Because He ascribed worth to Him 24/7. Hallelujah. In every circumstance, God is still God and He's still worthy to be praised. Can you say amen? I will bless the Lord. At all times. Woo! From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. I will have a people that will worship me. I will have a people that will honor me. I will have a people that will value me, yea, above their own lives. I will have, and I do have a people, and I will respond to their cry, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 If you are down in the dumps today, I want you to praise God out of the depths of those dumps. I want you to give God the glory that's due His name. Hallelujah. Psalm 50 is all about praising God. Down in the dumps or not down in the dumps or whatever. He said, listen, and by the way, this is not because God has a need for your praise. You know what He said to those people that were not worshiping from the heart in Psalm 50, how He addressed that? He said, you think all these sacrifices, including the incense and the singing, is some meeting some need in me? Honey, we're talking about God here, not some human being. I heard a preacher say the other day that he went to pray and God was sad. They watched Him on TV and said, God was sad. And he said, what's wrong, Lord? I could just sense God was brooding. He said, but my children won't do what I tell them. So God's up there having a pity party, you know. And He said, I decided I'm not going to do anything today. I'm going to cancel all my appointments. I'm going to sit here with you. And in other words, I'm going to console God. Let me tell you something about God. Amen. God is not like us. Thank God Jesus didn't have a pity party on the tree. Come on, if anybody could have a pity, they all forsook him. He's dying in agony. Amen, but he was having no pity party on that cross. He was dying out of love for you and me. He was just as God hanging on that cross as he was, amen, when he was glorified on that mountaintop. Amen, but listen to me. That's how man perceives and misconceives that loftiness of God. You know what he said in Psalm 50 to those that were worshiping inordinately, not coming from the heart? He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. In other words, these sacrifices you're offering is not satisfying some need in me. I have prescribed worship because I'm God. Amen. I've been good to Israel, and I expect you to reciprocate and respond with thanksgiving and grateful hearts to me. I prescribe this means of worship so you can express your thanksgiving in a way that's acceptable unto me. Can you say amen? But don't think that you're doing me a favor even when you get it right. Can you say amen? If I were hungry, I would not tell you. They were offering cattle. He said, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. You can't take something I own and give it to me as a gift. You're not fulfilling a need in him. Actually, you're fulfilling a need in you. You need this morning desperately to learn how to become a true worshiper, a 24/7 person who said, my God is worth my praise, no matter what kind of day I've had or week I've had or what I'm going through. Hey, let me give you a good reason. When you got saved, it means heaven's going to be your home and hell is not going to be where you spend eternity. That is a reason to worship God today, no matter what you're going through. Thank you. Woo! Hallelujah! Let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so! Hallelujah. The blood speaks, and so should we. Hallelujah. Someone has said there's something in us, something spiritual, something innate, something God created you with, which cries out to worship the Creator. The world will pervert it if it can, but the void of our heart will never be filled until we become true worshipers. This is my desire. He says, I want to be a true worshiper. I want to move out of my selfish worship of him. I want to move out of the awareness of my wants into the spiritual realm of God's presence. I want to worship him, and I want to be changed by that experience. True worship liberates us and changes us. True worship brings us closer to the one whose image we bear. In worship, the concrete floor beneath our feet is transformed into holy ground. How many would have loved to have been there when God manifest his presence on a bush that burned but wasn't consumed? It just was engulfed in flames of fire. Moses came by that, and it's on the side of a mountain. Amen. The mountain itself was not designated as a holy mountain, but God's presence sanctified that place. Can you say amen? Amen. It became holy by virtue of what? His manifesting his presence.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And Moses stopped and said, I'm going to turn and see this thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when God manifests his presence, it gets people's attention.
Yes.
Somebody said, let the church catch on fire, and everybody in the community will come out to watch it burn. Amen. If we want to impress the community, and they could care less what's going on in these four walls unless we get on fire for God. Suddenly, wherever you go and wherever I go, the savor of him is going to go. Can you say amen? Wow. No wonder the devil wants to suppress this thing and keep it in a box. Oh, by the way, David said, I'll even become more undignified than this. In other words, I'm just beginning to praise God for these blessings. So if you think it's bad now, just hang out a little more and watch me worship my God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And you know what? She was adamant that she wanted him to play the role of the king to the hilt and forget about pleasing God. Amen. From the heart. Amen. She was more concerned about dignity and decorum than pleasing the God that could send the rains on Israel and send angels to defend her. And the Bible said she was struck with barrenness. In other words, your judgment from God for criticizing what this man did out of sincerity of heart is that you are going to be barren. There are churches that are barren in terms of an expression of the Holy Spirit today. They better have a good program, because that's all there is. There's no evidence of the manifest presence of God. Because when it is, it's immediately suppressed. The fear of wildfire has brought no fire. We talk about a supernatural God and see nothing that represents the supernatural. Even the conversions, so-called, are phony because they do not result in lives that have been liberated from sin. The bondage still exists. You get up from an altar and go back to drugs, back to illicit sex, back to inordinate activities with no regard for God and His Word, and we call it salvation. That's baloney. Any man be in Christ, something supernatural has happened. He's a new creation. Old things passed away. Everything has become new. Can you say amen? Sinless? No. But sin-bound? Sin-driven? No way. That has changed radically. And if it hasn't changed, you're not a Christian. Oh, 1 John says that. That's not me judging you. God's Word has judged that. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Period. That means live habitually and without conviction or repentance. If you can do that, you've never been born again. According to God's Word. Everybody say God's Word. Not going to be judged by what the pastor says or what the deacons say or what the church organization comes up with at their next conclave. We're going to be judged by what God has said in His Word. Can you say amen? That's what we're going to face. So we got a book right here. I want somebody to tell me what the book says, not what I want to hear. Because I want to go to heaven. I make it my personal business to know that I know that I know that I'm sealed for heaven. So if I draw my last breath before this sermon is over, absent from the body, doesn't mean wondering where I'm going to end up. It means present with the Lord. Hallelujah. The floor beneath our feet truly becomes holy ground. In worship, truth becomes a person and lives in our hearts, setting us free from the loneliness and search for significance. Jesus, truth becomes personified. Not just something you understand with your mind, but you experience in your heart. As a person, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. A lot of people got the truth of Scripture up here, but they don't have Him who is the truth held close in here. And so there's still an emptiness in it. It still rings empty even when they speak about truth. But if you have Christ in your heart, you may not be a great theologian, but you know whom you have believed. And you can speak with conviction and be convincing to those around you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. As Christians, we understand the emptiness of the world. The Bible said we're without God, without hope in this present world. We understand that they're in a desperate search to find something to fill the void. No wonder Satan has so many candidates for sin, even in the church. Because they're trying to fill a void that God was supposed to be filling. The God-shaped hole in their heart that cannot be filled with the things of the world. Got a whole genre of the Christian faith out there that faith is used primarily for the material and the physical to fulfill the emotional. Instead of that spiritual fulfilling relationship with God that transcends all of these things. Can you say amen? What a tragedy and a tapestry. We can explain their emptiness, but what about the prevailing emptiness which haunts so many churches? When we look at so many churches where programs have substituted for praise and works have substituted for worship, what we see are churches trying to do what the world is doing. We see churches trying to fill a God-shaped void with world-shaped ideas. And the church and the people who are flocking to religious services every Sunday, they are empty. Because they've forgotten what true worship really is. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Not a relationship with things that God grants you because of faith, but a person who God sends you to save your soul. Amen? That's what was going on during the life of Jesus. The Jews insisted that theirs was true worship because they worshiped at the temple on Mount Zion. Amen? Did you know what had happened to worship? It had come down to just religiosity. And Jesus said, you go out and make proselytes, and when you do, you make them twice the child of hell as you are. He called them whited sepulchres. Amen. You represent death and not true life. Incredible what worship had disintegrated into. Amen. And the Samaritans declared that the Jews were worshiping in the wrong place, that their worship was false. Instead, the Samaritans insisted the true place to worship was on Mount Gerizim, where they had built their own temple. He told this woman, she said, I want to worship God. But they tell me over here, here's the only place to acceptably worship Him. They tell me over here, there's the only place. Theirs is the only right way. So I'm asking you, because I have a heart to worship. Can you say, I'll tell you, you can't get saved without a heart to worship. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, the time has come, now is, when it's not about a place. It's about a person. True worshipers shall worship who? God. How? In spirit and in truth. For who? God seeketh such to worship. Who? Him. Worship would not be about a holy place, but a holy person. And a holy person that would come and live within your life. Isn't that incredible? Samaritan woman had a life-changing encounter with Jesus at Jacob's well. He'd given her living water. Her sins were forgiven. Her guilt was gone. Now her heart was overflowing with love and gratitude. And she sought to worship this wonderful, gracious God. She said, I've got to find a way to give Him the due. Amen. Give Him His worth to show forth His worthiness. How many in this room would tell someone that they need Christ today? Would you tell them if they're lost they need Jesus? Amen. Would you do something else? Would you show them how much He's worth? Amen. Would you show them the value of Jesus today? We were not bought with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. What is that worth today? We don't need to just tell people they need Him. We need to show them what He's worth. Amen. No matter what we're going through, amen, people need to see a people that ascribe value unto Him to the degree that He's worth more than what I feel on Sunday morning, regardless of what I feel. I bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of my God. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge you today, if you will begin to praise God with all your heart like David danced with all of his, God's going to turn the captivity of Zion. They hung their harps upon the willow trees, and their enemies had heard of their God and their praise for their God and said, we would hear a song of thee, and said, how shall we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? I wonder what it would have happened if they had repented there on the spot, saw how far they had drifted from their God and His salvation, picked those harps, plucked those harps off of those weeping willow trees and began to sing His high praises. I believe then and there God would have turned their captivity. But they, like us, don't praise God until something happens. What would have happened if you were part of that group of people walking around Jericho? While they shout insults at you in the walls no one has ever taken. And suddenly your captain says, shout, for God has given you the city. But I got a bunion on my big toe. And I've had to walk around this place. And that bunion's been hurting me. Is it bunions on your toe or the ball of your foot? I don't know. I've never had a bunion. Amen. Amen. Oh, Sister Hoopendicker told me she didn't like my hair. How can I shout today? I spent all day at the beauty shop, and Sister Hoopendicker said, what have you done to your hair? Can you say amen? Everybody told me it was pretty. It made me look younger until I got to church. And if somebody's going to nail you, it'll be there. Can you say amen? When God wants your mind on Him, can you say amen? Where did you get that dress? And you thought it looked so good in the mirror as you said, mirror, mirror, on the wall. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, listen. We got to get past all that junk and ascribe unto Him the worth that is due His great name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When God turned again, the walls wouldn't have fell unless they shouted by faith, because God is faithful. Not because of what they were facing or what they saw or what they even sensed. Amen. There was no evidence of the presence of God, but they knew He was there. He brought them out of Egypt and they didn't see Him, but they saw the sea part. Can you say amen? They saw it come back and drown Pharaoh's army. Can you say amen? I'll tell you something. I'd rather see God do His wonders than to have the best feeling you could give me on Sunday. Hallelujah! I don't don't have to give up the feeling to see it, but I have to transcend the feeling to see it. I have to praise Him in that deep, dark valley for Him to turn my captivity. Hallelujah. Walls come down when people praise Him in their circumstance. Shout, for God has given you the city. And the Bible said they all shouted His praise. And the wall fell down flat. You're hard-pressed to get people to praise God in their circumstance, because we are thinking of ourselves and our circumstance instead of God and His faithfulness and worthiness. Ascribe unto Him worth. Be a Christian that says, I want to be a true worshiper. I want to worship Him in spirit, from my reborn spirit, not my flesh and my emotions, but even deeper, deep calls to deep. And I'm going to worship Him when I feel like it. And I'm going to worship Him when I don't. God's going to hear me. I'm going to honor God, and God's going to honor my faith. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? We better quit right here. I'm learning the lessons that I'm teaching. And I'm learning them in my life circumstance. How many are beginning to get a handle on praising God in here? How many still wrestle with the flesh? It's okay to wrestle with the flesh as long as you win. Can you say amen? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. There's a man in Scripture who's a great king over Israel. Everything is going well and God is blessing. A great army comes up. So overwhelming in number. In fact, there are three nations that have gathered together to conquer one little nation. And they are completely allied and of one heart to destroy and plunder the city of God. He stands before God, confessing his weakness, and say, we have no might to go out against this great army. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. Can you say amen? Now God's going to teach, you know, there's a scripture that says, teach my hands to fight and my fingers to war. God said, if you want victory, I'll teach you how to get it. But you're going to have to get it my way. Can you say amen? Not the way your emotions or your mental processes dictate, but my way. Hallelujah. How many want victory God's way? Amen. It's only a true way to get it. Can you say amen? Your way hadn't paid off. Amen. Amen. I say your approach hasn't paid off. So we need to start coming God's way into this thing. And the moment he said, but our eyes are on you, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon that congregation and a prophet stood up and said, thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle. Speaking of physically encountering your enemy and with your strength trying to overcome him. For the battle is no longer yours. The battle is the Lord's. Now he lays out the battle plan. Go get the singers. Go get the worshipers whose job is to sing praises in the temple every single day. Bring those worshipers out here. I'm not talking about that choir that puts on the front on Sunday and goes out the back door to puff a cigarette so they can get in on the end of the sermon. Did you hear what I'm telling you? I'm not talking about them. Don't send them. They're not worshipers. They are performers. This was not going to be a performance for the enemy. This is going to be a worship to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so he went and got the singers, and the singers came out and said, why? We want you to go out and reveal yourself to these three great armies and begin to sing the high praises of God, just like you do in the temple. We want you to worship today with all this array of threat against us, just like you do in the temple in the presence of God. Say what? Yeah, we want you to worship out there. How about the army? Are they coming? We're going to what? No, they're staying here. God said, don't bring the army out. Send you guys out. Because the battle is not ours. And all the people shaking, looking at all that's against them, saying, right, that's right, that's right. That's what he said. That's what he said. I heard him. Didn't you say that's what he said? Amen. So but the worshipers knew something. Because they didn't spend their time polishing their shields, amen, and sharpening their swords and learning how to do physical battle. They spent their time in the presence of God, worshiping Him in the temple. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And they knew the God of Israel more intimately than the man out on the battlefield knew God. And they said, if He wants worship today, if that's what God has instructed, and He wants us to do it out of the context of the holy and the temple, out here in the context of trial, threat, pressure, fear, we're going to worship in the face of this fear. We're going to worship our God in the face of this threat. We're going to worship God in spite of this pressure. We're going to worship Him out here, amen, on this battlefield, just like we worship Him in there in the temple. They walked out and stood, and the choir leader struck it up, the worship leader, and said, let's sing that good revelation of God we all love. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Let's ascribe unto God something that extols His holy character of love and mercy and power. They begin to repeat it over and over, just the chorus. The Lord is good, and His mercy. And I would imagine that when they started singing, someone picked up the ram's horn. Called Israel to worship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it doesn't matter if you use spiritual weapons in the battle. Can you say amen? For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. And while they sang, three armies prepared to attack. And suddenly a spirit of confusion came upon those armies. And everyone saw his ally as his enemy. And as Israel sang the high praises of God, three armies engaged in mortal combat. And they fought to the death until only two were left standing. And they kept singing, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And they had a standoff against each other, and they ran each other through, and they both fell dead on the ground. And three mighty armies lay dead on the ground, and Israel stood with their singers and said, we serve a God of the supernatural. We serve a God that is mighty to save. We serve a God who is a deliverer. We serve a God who is a Savior. Hallelujah. There's salvation in Israel. Hallelujah. Because the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And when we praise Him, we ascribe unto Him that high, holy place of sovereign grace and authority. I'm going to challenge you to praise God today from deep inside here to become a true worshiper. Can you say, now, not some emotional up and down, in and out, on and off, hot and cold individual, but a worshiper that says, God's going to get my praise. Hallelujah. You know what a lady did? I got to tell you this. We're going to worship. You can leave when you want to. I know I'm holding late, but there's no time limit here, so we don't know what late really is. Amen. Listen to this. A woman was standing in her kitchen, fairly terribly oppressed of the devil. Amen. And she felt it until she just couldn't hardly read her Bible. She couldn't hardly think. She just felt confused and oppressed. Circumstances had come in on her. She was up in age, but she knew something about praise and worship. Amen. And she just felt like the devil was in the room taunting her and saying, where's your God now? Where's your God now? Where's your God now? You know, where's your God now? Where's your God now? Where's your God now? She remembered a scripture that said He is the high and holy one that inhabits the praises of His people. And she said, she turned around and didn't see any apparition, but she spoke out loud and said, devil, my God is right here with me right now to give me the victory. And you stand right there and shut your mouth while I praise Him. And she said she started worshiping God. And said she started with her head, but it began to come from her heart, and then it began to come up out of her belly, and as she worshiped God, all of that broke from her. True worshipers don't quit when the pressure gets on. Can you say, man, have you got anything out of this today? Well, let me tell you, God is here right now. For about 3 minutes, you can leave when you're ready to leave.